Hey, welcome to From Start to Finish with Christina Faith. Here, we really desire from start to finish to add value to people's lives and help them achieve their goals. So hopefully today, while listening to the podcast, you'll be encouraged to achieve your goals, whether it's starting it or finish it or the in-between. Hey, how you guys doing? This is Christina Faith from Start to Finish with ChristinaFaith.com. Today we have a special guest on the podcast. His name is Carlos Whitaker. Some of you may know him. He is a writer, a speaker, a worship leader, a consultant, a father, a husband. He is a everything, but most of all, he is a hustler that's going to inspire us today about hustling from start to finish. Yes. Carlos, how you doing today?
I'm fantastic. Excited to be on the show.
Nice to have you, Carlos. Carlos, you are a... you're a social, if anyone that is in the arena of Christian or some form of moment maker, they know who Carlos Whitaker is.
Yeah.
So can you tell us, how did you get started? Because I know you started off blogging and singing.
Yeah.
Like, when did you realize, okay, this blogging thing was real?
You know, it was 2005. Okay. I mean, this was a long time ago, 10 years ago. And I went to this worship conference and there was a breakout called... how to lead your team through social media. And I was like, what does that even mean? And so like, I was a worship pastor at a church and I went and I set up a Typepad blog and I started making my worship team read it. Like I made them read it. Right. So they were my 5 readers a day. And next thing you know, I was doing these things called worship confessionals where after every worship set, I would talk about what went right, what went wrong. And I started seeing the traction start to kind of slowly build on the blog. And you know what, Christina? I just faithfully wrote for years, every single day when it was just my mom reading. Well, next thing you know, my blog is winning all these awards. I've got 10,000 readers a day. But it's only because I did it every single day. And, you know, as I was leading worship, that was my primary gig and it has been my entire life. Suddenly about 2 years ago, I said, you know what? Like all these people have been reading my words every single day for the last 10 years. I'm going to give them more than a paragraph to read. So I decided to write a book called Moment Maker. And, you know, it's done really well and I'm super proud of it. But yeah, it's been fun to watch social media kind of lead me on this journey.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So what drove you to write once a day? I think that's like the biggest thing about people is that they don't realize that consistency is the key, but the passion behind that consistency, what was causing you to write once a
day? Well, I remember specifically when this happened. One day I was watching one of my favorite cable channels and I can't remember what it was. This was like in 2009, 2010. And it was one of my favorite channels and I'd watch it all the time. And one day I clicked on it and there was nothing on it, but just like a black screen. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird. And then the next morning I changed the channel to it and there was something on it. The next night I changed the channel to it. There wasn't anything on it. And then like for a week, there wasn't anything on it. And then all of a sudden I stopped watching it. And something clicked inside of me where I said, you know what? It's the same thing with social media. Like it's almost like we have our own channel, right? Mm-hmm. And people are going to come to it. And people will consistently come if they know whenever they click over to your channel, something's going to be on it. But the second something's not on it, and the second they start realizing that there's a pattern of things not being on it, they're going to stop checking. And so when I realized that, I said, you know what? I've got to give these people something every single day. Even if it was a sentence, it doesn't have to be this vast theory of knowledge and how to change the world every day. No, it can be something silly. It can be something profound. It doesn't matter. But as long as it is something. So I decided to have the habit of writing Monday through Friday every single day and just putting something on my blog, just something up there. And you know what else it did is it continued to exercise and grow my writing muscle, which, you know, as an author was something that I didn't know that I was going to need, but I'm glad that I pulled it off.
Nice, nice. Took somebody's life to a whole nother level right there.
Right on.
So one of the things that I really appreciate about you, Carlos, is that you incorporate your family into everything. And I know that, you know, through the years, your wife was kind of like, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out.
Yeah.
But now you guys have such a level that you guys have realized what works for you. So how are you guys balancing family and work? I know your wife, when I emailed, she was the one that emailed mm-hmm. back. So how do you guys bring that together? Because I know that's a big talking point for a lot of people.
Yeah, you know what is, you know, me being an entrepreneur and kind of having like 5 different things that I do to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. you know, the hustle's at home, right? Like, mm-hmm. So I don't have an office somewhere. Like, my office is in my house. Like, I've got a little one-room office that I use, and we've decided to take my booking and my management away from somebody else who did a great job, but I was paying 15% to somebody. And I said, you know what? I'd rather just bring it in-house. So now we have to make sure that we've got a really tactical dynamic when it comes to how we are functioning as a family versus functioning as work. And we've got to make sure it doesn't one doesn't leak into the other. And so we're very motivated to make sure every single day at 5 p.m. mm-hmm. work shuts off. So for me, like, you know, we've got this bag that is by the door, and it's just a brown bag that at 5 p.m., like, all the phones go in that bag. Oh, so like, nice. there's no phones until the kids go back to bed, which is the goal. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that doesn't happen every single day, but you know, just having that place where the phones go is going to make sure that work and family are separate. Now, here's the thing: when people follow me on social media, you know, I know that people enjoy my family just as much as they enjoy me. So I know and understand that part of my brand is my family, and so you know, so how do I make sure to walk that fine line of living authentically with my family online, yet not using my family as a platform builder. And so, you know, for me, it used to be like, you know, Instagram pictures of my kids all the time. Well, now my girl's 12 years old, going on 13. So I'll actually ask her, hey, baby, is it okay if I post this online? Whereas before, you know, there was no asking. She just, you know, I just did it. And so again, making sure that my work and social media interactions continue to grow and mature with my children. And you know, one day my kids are going to be 18, and you know, they're not my puppets. Mm-hmm. So I've got to make sure that that it's a constant flow of communication. And since social media changes at such a rapid pace, I don't think people can make one set of rules and follow those for 2 years, because I think in 3 months those rules change, and in 3 months something else happens. So as long as you're consistently having communication and consistently re-examining your set of principles and rules, I think that you're going to be in a healthier place as a family, and also at a healthier place when it comes to your social media.
Definitely. So what, in the midst of all of that, a lot of that you're talking about is authenticity. So what has been the yeah. biggest challenge for you living authentically as a Christian online? Because there's a big difference for you as a Christian and someone else that's a regular blogger. So what, mm-hmm. what do you think has been the difference with that?
You know, I think for the longest time, my platform, I kind of tried to specifically build my platform on authenticity. So like, when I was blogging about things, I was trying to purposely blog about things that other Christians weren't blogging about. So anxiety and depression, like I was one of the first bloggers to admit that I took Paxil 20 milligrams every single day. And that really opened up the gamut when I lived authentically through that on my blog. All of a sudden, all these people started coming to me going, man, I take Paxil, or I take Lexapro, or I struggle with anxiety, I struggle with depression. And so authenticity, you know, spurred those conversations on. Now, the danger in authenticity, I think, with Christians is sometimes because all we have in front of us is, what, say, 13 inches of LCD screen, it becomes sometimes a little too easy to live too authentically. And when I say too authentically, I think some things are meant for you and you alone, and you and God, and you and God alone. And then sometimes I think I've had to dance the line of, you know what, I know my tribe sees me as an authentic human being, but this story right now that I'm living, this story is meant just to be for me, God, and my family, and it's not meant for anybody else. And so to make sure that as seasons come along, you kind of gauge how authentically you're living. Obviously, you always want to be authentic in what you say, but I'm talking about how much of that life you share. I think it's important to make sure that you're gauging that. But I also believe that as followers of Christ, we are called not just to show the great stuff in our lives, not just to show this Instagram filtered life, right? These selfies at 45 degree angles so we don't have a double chin, right? Like we're trying to like present a facade of a life, but people have to remember that what you see online is mostly people's bests, and do not compare your everyday to somebody's stage, because mm-hmm. that's what people are doing.
Definitely. It's like social media creates this facade for a lot of people, and they think that it's life, and it's like, no, yeah. that's one picture. That's 140 characters.
Yeah.
So you've created so many moments in your own life, and now you're creating moments for other people. If you could say one specific moment that inspired you to finish a project that you were working on, what would it be?
So one specific moment that inspired me to finish a project I was working on. So, man, I've got so many projects that, you know, that I've done throughout the years. I really believe that there was a moment when I was in the middle of writing Moment Maker, and I was getting booked to do a lot of worship leading gigs. And I knew that in my heart, I wanted to change my direction and change my path to become a speaker. And so here's the thing. When you're really good at doing something and you decide to take a risk and try to attempt to do something that you're not proven in doing, that you're not a proven expert at. So for me, that was speaking. I was an expert at singing and leading churches and worship, but I was not an expert in speaking. So when I decided to make that shift, it was a difficult shift for people to swallow. It was a difficult shift for people to say, man, well, Carlos, I know he's a great worship leader. Why in the world would he want to stop doing that and start speaking more? So I'm writing my book. I'm sitting there, and there was a moment when all these opportunities were coming in to lead worship in really large events. And then I was getting asked to speak in front of 10 people, right? Like 15 people. And I remember looking at my wife, and this was the moment. And I said, baby, like, what am I? I think I'm crazy. Like, what am I? I'm turning down opportunities to be in front of 20,000 people to be in front of 10. And I just remember her looking at me saying, people know you. People read your words every single day, and you have to step out. Unless you step out of the boat and onto the water, you're never going to know if you can walk on it. And, you know, when you look in scripture, she just told me, you remember the moment that Peter was doubting God and said, if it's really you, ask me to come to you on the water. And Jesus just said one word. He said, come. Peter stepped out of the water. What happened? He walked on it. But you're never going to know if you can walk on water unless you step out the boat. And that was the moment for me that I said, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. And so I finished the book. I started, and now I'm preaching in the same large churches that I was leading worship in 2 years ago are inviting me to come in and speak. And I think that that's just God saying, listen, you stepped out of the boat and watched the miracle happen. And so that was the moment for me where everything shifted.
Nice. That was an amazing moment.
Yeah, it was.
That was that walk on water moment that we all desire, but when it comes, we're afraid to actually step out of the boat. So I'm sure you just encourage people to actually step out of the boat. So
get out the boat.
Get out. So
get out. Get out the boat.
Carlos, you are a techie, but I think you're a minimalist techie in a sense. Like, you know, you're not like me that you've got cameras everywhere, but I'm a filmmaker, so I have to have cameras everywhere and lights and stuff. So what's your setup like? What is Carlos using today?
Yeah, you know, like I guess it depends on what version of Carlos is working that day.
Yeah.
You know, if it's the writer Carlos, okay. I've got a 13-inch MacBook Air. Mm-hmm. That is kind of my. I mean, it's been the greatest. I've owned Mac computers since they had the 12-inch PowerBook in 2005. Like, I've just been a Mac guy, and so this thing has honestly been the greatest computer I've ever owned. Like, it is amazing. It's a beast, and I use that every single day to do, you know, to write. When I'm writing, I use a program called Write Room, which completely blocks out any other traffic coming in. It's just a single full page app that all I can see is the cursor blinking on the screen. So I've got that happening. I've got my iPhone 6 Plus, which the reason I went with the big screen is because as people follow me online, you'll realize that I do a lot of video on my phone. I actually edit in iMovie on my phone all the time. So I'm using that a lot. And then, you know, again, I'm using my GoPro. I got a Hero 3. And then I've got a Fuji XE1 that I film a lot of my kind of knowledge-based course content. I did this thing in December called Fit by First, where I was helping people get fit. I lost about 35 pounds 2 years ago. And so just trying to help people get fit. So I did a 31 days of video. And a lot of that I was using my Fuji XE1. So, you know, I'm a techie. I like my toys. And but those are kind of the essentials, the laptop, the phone, the GoPro, and the Fuji. And with those things, I feel like I can conquer the world.
Definitely. I think you're conquering your world and being an incredible influencer. That's for sure.
Thanks so much.
So I thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us today. I look forward. I saw that your site is about to change soon. Can you give us some ways that we can reach you?
Absolutely. So here's the thing. My blog is always going to be ragamuffinsoul.com. That's ragamuffinsoul.com. Now, when my site changes, that is my site is going to be carloswhitaker.com. So it's just going to take you to the blog portion of that. So carloswhitaker.com. Also, I'm online there. And then on Twitter, Loswit, which is LOSWHIT on Instagram, Low Sweat. And then probably, though, the place I'm focusing most of my attention is Snapchat these days. And on Snapchat, I'm Whittakrew, which is WHITTAKREW. And I'm basically living a reality show every single day on there, and it's a lot of fun.
Nice. Real quick, can you tell us where the Ragamuffin Soul came from?
Because
I think that's an important factor in your whole entire story.
Yeah, you know, like when I first launched my blog, I've been my entire life a big Rich Mullins fan, and he was kind of like my songwriting hero, and honestly, a lot of the kind of disturbing and disrupting that I do in the Christian culture, I get from him because he was a massive disturber and disruptor in the Christian culture. And so he was a hero of mine, and he passed away a couple years before I started blogging. And so when I decided to start my blog, his band was called the Ragamuffins. And a ragamuffin is basically a shabbily clothed orphan child. And so I knew that in each one of our hearts, we've got this orphan heart where we're desiring to be wanted and needed and adopted by something greater. And we've got this soul of ours that wonderfully gets you to be, if we accept it, adopted by our Lord and Savior. And so that's where Ragamuffin Soul came from. I feel like everybody has that Ragamuffin Soul inside of them. And so I got the domain, and it's been a blast.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today, Carlo. You've been amazing.
Thank you so much.